dear brothers and sisters in the faith. Gospel of St. John, chapter 3. It says, "Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him.' Jesus answered him, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, or born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.' Nicodemus said to him, 'How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?' Jesus answered, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again.'" And so tonight's scripture reading: "Blessed are those hungering and thirsting for righteousness, for they shall be filled." And hunger and thirst, of course, are probably the strongest drives in us. They have to do with survival. Hunger and thirst are also words that are used to express a strong spiritual desire or a strong spiritual need, which has to do with your eternal survival. So even more important. Book of Psalm 63. "O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." Book of Isaiah, chapter 55. "Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance." And of course, also tonight's scripture: "Blessed are those hungering and thirsting for righteousness, for they shall be filled." And so was Nicodemus, a man of the Pharisees. And as a Pharisee, he hungered and he thirsted for righteousness. As a Pharisee, his whole life was about righteousness, at least as the Pharisees defined it. If you would take their belief system and summarize it very simply, or as simply as possible, boil it all down, it was two things. Number one, study God's Bible. Number two, and most important, obey God's Bible. Study God's Bible, obey God's Bible. Doesn't sound too bad. Sounds pretty good. And yet, Nicodemus is still a hungry man. He's still a thirsty man. He's not filled up. Nothing has filled him that people always say will fill you up. For instance, power. He has power. He's a ruler of the Jews. Apparently, he hasn't filled him up. He still hungers and thirsts. The man, as a ruler of the Jews, has recognition. People know who he is. Nicodemus has achievements, things he's worked hard toward, things worthy of respect. Nicodemus has influence. His words carry weight. Nicodemus has ability. He would not have achieved his position otherwise. Nicodemus has wealth, which is often consequent from ability. Nicodemus has the regard of his people. And yet still he's hungry. Still he's thirsty for something. And not even the study of the Bible or the keeping of the commandments of the Bible are filling him up. trying so hard to love the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, trying to love his neighbor as himself, like the Bible says, and the man is still hungry, he's still thirsty, he still is longing to be pronounced righteous by the Lord God, the judge of all, according to the good Lord's standard of right. He hungers and thirsts to be one of the saints in the kingdom of God. And so what does he do? He comes to the Lord Jesus at night, and he says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. We know that you are a teacher who has come from God." The problem with that statement is he doesn't know that. He doesn't know that Jesus is a teacher come from God. He just assumed that. And he also assumed something that's very important to realize. And that is, he assumes that Jesus, as a rabbi, or a teacher, or a preacher, that Jesus could teach him into heaven. Maybe Jesus had come along like many others before him. A lot of preachers come along, a preacher in every church. A lot of preachers come along, but now Jesus comes along, and maybe what he can do is teach Nicodemus some new technique or some new method or some system of prayer or devotional life, some hidden way or some mystical way maybe to get things right. The problem is that no teacher or preacher or sage or wise man has ever discovered a way to take a guilty, sinful person and turn them into a righteous one. You can't be taught into the kingdom of God. What's the old saying? You can't take a sow's ear and make what? Silk purse. Doesn't work. Or how about another analogy tonight? I brought someone with me, and I will show him to you in just a moment once I turn my page. I brought someone with me, and you will recognize him probably, some of you maybe, from your Christmas stocking. It's a lump of coal. Hopefully not in your Christmas stocking. Lump of coal. There it is, right there. Except Mr. Coal has a problem. Mr. Coal is dirty. And Mr. Cole gets everybody else around him dirty when you're handling him, whenever you touch him, whenever you have contact with him. Mr. Cole gives people black lung. He's got all sorts of problems for himself and for other people. So what are we going to do with Mr. Cole? Well, if you just leave him be, where's he going to end up? In the fire. End up in a, well, steam engine, not steam engines anymore, but somebody's going to burn him up. Hopefully not too much, but anyway, he's going to get burned up. But we're not going to leave him be. We're going to fix Mr. Cole. What are we going to do? How do we get him not to be dirty? Well, maybe we can rinse him in water. What do you think? Rinse him in water, dunk him in water, he'll get clean now? Well, of course not. Water isn't always that effective. What we need is some soap. Soap and water, that'll get him cleaned up. Wash him and scrub him. Will it work? Well, soap's kind of weak. How about detergent? Detergent and water. We'll put him in there and that'll get Mr. Cole clean. He won't be getting things dirty anymore. How about if we scrub him with the right hand? Scrub him with the left hand. How about if we scrub him hard? How about we scrub him soft? Put you back into it. Or maybe soap, water, and all these other things, maybe if they don't work, maybe we can teach Mr. Cole how not to be clean, or dirty, excuse me, how not to be dirty, how to be clean. Can we teach him into being clean? Can we scrub him into being clean? Can we wash him into being clean? He is what he is. You don't make a silk purse out of a what? Out of a sow's ear. There you go. Sooner or later, you go down the path and you realize, you know, the only one who could do anything with Mr. Cole is a good Lord. It's the Lord Jesus. And there you go. The only thing that can make him clean, there you go. You just became a Christian. You just became a Christian person. You just began to sing like the old hymn says, His blood, the blood of Jesus, can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. You see, Nicodemus, when he came to the Lord Jesus, he assumed, like we all do, and like all religions do, he assumed the basic premise that righteousness is achievable. Whereas sooner or later you realize, you hit a brick wall and you realize that righteousness is not achievable. It's only givable. And only God can give it. St. Paul said that to the Christians in Romans chapter 3. He said, but now, apart from the law of God, in other words, keeping the law of God, following the law of God, scrubbing, trying to be clean, apart from the law of God, the righteousness not of you, but the righteousness of God has been manifested, even the righteousness of God that comes to you, given to you through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, because, and I think you know the words, there's no distinction, no difference, for all have what? Sin, and all fall short of the glory of God. This is you. This is how you come into the world. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by a gift. By a gift. It was given to you by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as an atoning sacrifice in His blood through faith. Washed clean in Jesus. In other words, what people couldn't do, could never do, what was beyond human ability, the Lord did. Jesus met the demands of His Father for righteousness, and it was transferred to us by His life and by His death. And so now we stand, the book of Hebrews tells us, perfectly righteous before God. You have perfect righteousness. And if you have that, God your Father is satisfied with you. And verse after verse of the Bible says the same thing. For by grace you are saved, through faith. And this not of yourselves, it's not of works, it's a gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can what? No one can boast, pat themselves on the shoulder. What else does the scripture say? There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What does it say? You know this one? Whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but what? Have everlasting life. You have everlasting life. And you have the grace and mercy of God now in this life as well, too. You may not have the other things that Nicodemus had, but you got the one thing that fills you up. The one thing that fills a believer in God. You are righteous, and you will see the kingdom of God. And you can say, you know, Jesus did enough. It is enough. I'm full now. I'm full. Because blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. For in Jesus they shall be filled. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.